It's time now for the Central Texas Leadership Series on 103.3 Waco Public Radio. What does it take to lead in Central Texas? In this series, we sit down with local leaders, some you know, some you may not, to hear how they make decisions, face challenges, and move things forward. It's not about titles, it's about how things really get done. In this episode, host Rachel Velasco sits down with Waco native and local artist, Cade Kegaris.
Cade, thank you so much for joining me today, being in the studio with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm really excited to talk to you today because having seen some of your public art, I think that's such an interesting job to have, number one. And there's so much we can talk about as far as, you know, what your journey as an artist has been and what it means to make public art and to be a part of this sort of public conversation around art. But let's just start with some basics. Like, tell me about how you got started, where you grew up, where you went to school. Just give me like the quick and dirty bio.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick and dirty. I'm born and raised in Waco, actually seventh generation Wacoan on my mom's side. Been here a long time and immediately thought I would leave. Crazy that I'm still here, but loving it. Grew up going to Hillcrest PDS and then Rappaport. Really enjoyed my time at Rappaport and had great art teachers at both, and I think that is what, you know, really inspired my path, as well as family support and creative genes.
My kids went to Hillcrest PDS.
Did they?
Yeah. So when you said that, I was like, oh, we have a soft spot in our heart for that school. That was a great school. So then you went to school here, and then you went to Baylor University?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you study specifically at Baylor?
Studio art.
Okay. And any of those disciplines, explain to the listeners what studio art actually means.
There's quite a few different concentrations you can take, painting, photography, ceramics. I actually started as a photography concentration studio art major, and once I found oil painting, it kind of shook up my plans in the best way, and kind of dropped that concentration to explore more painting, and you know, I love it all, but once I found oil painting, I think that really transitioned my path of what I thought I wanted to do became different.
What do you think it is about oil painting that gave you that inspiration to want to really focus your efforts there?
For one, my professor, Winter Rusilowski, she was amazing. I think her guidance beyond the tools of painting really influenced me to pursue it more. But it was definitely the first time that I felt confident with color. I'd never really painted before. Had bad experiences with acrylic and just thought painting wasn't for me until oil. And I guess just the true nature of it, it will dry like you expect, and a lot more flexibility with how long you can keep it wet, and just really so many cool things that then after art history and learning about just the masters of oil painting, what you could really achieve.
How did you know, I mean, you talked about, you know, these influences from your school. How did you know that art as a career was really what you wanted to do? Like, what was the switch that flipped for you on that?
Growing up, I guess I wanted to be an architect. My dad and grandpa have always been in the woodworking construction realm. And I thought that would be a good bridge with my, you know, lifetime love of art. And honestly, those sorts of experiences, like finding oil painting or having, you know, great mentors, just made me confident enough to pursue it. I didn't really know what an artist was or what that path looked like, and it's really been a big experiment since graduating.
So tell me more about what you think an artist is now that you're doing it. I mean, that's such an interesting thing that you just said when you're like, well, I didn't really know what an artist was. And I think everybody maybe has an idea in their mind of what an artist could be or should be or might be. But now that you're living it and you are literally, you carry title of artist with you, how would you describe what an artist is?
I think your conversation before we got on about the element of being a leader and being able to visually express things that in most cases can't be expressed any other way. Definitely think of that as a whole as something that's very empowering, you know, as the creator, but also for the viewer. And I think there's just so many possibilities of how you can influence, you know, anything, hopefully in the right way. But just has opportunities to, you know, make something that hadn't existed before. I guess whatever you can do with that, you know, I still don't really know what an artist is. I don't think there should be a definition that locks you in, because there's so many ways to be an artist.
Sounds like it's the conversation, both with the medium and with the viewer, right? Like you as the creator, and that constant changing of conversation and the different ways that you're expressing that process is really where you're learning what it means to be an artist.
Right, especially in the public space of murals. 'Cause I thought of artists being, you know, in your studio, painting all the time, hopefully have a show here and there, but with the public side, you know, you're getting those eyes all the time that I guess I didn't expect. I did not expect to be doing murals.
You do so much public art. Let's give our listeners here for just a moment just kind of a rundown of some of the public art pieces that you've done. So they may be familiar and have seen your work and didn't realize that you were the artist. So can you give us kind of just a list of some of the pieces that you've done in this area and then maybe outside our area even?
Yeah, I think one of the most photographed and recognizable is the Frida Kahlo at Helados La Azteca call cord. Recently, I guess about a year ago, finished up the Texas Sports Hall of Fame near Baylor's campus, and that has 11 different walls, close to 50 different larger-than-life-size athletes. Had the first mural on Baylor campus, and was lucky enough to do the first mural on Texas A&M campus as well.
What was the mural at A&M of?
It's in Aggie Park, a newer development, and the wall says Aggie Park, and each letter kind of tells the story and traditions of Texas A&M.
Those are big pieces in important places. And as an artist who is, you know, working, what is that experience like being asked to come and tell a story that, I mean, I know for our community here in Waco, you know, Baylor University is a really important part of the fabric of our community. The same thing goes for Texas A&M and College Station. I mean, so much of the identity of that place is tied to the university. So you getting to come and be a part of telling a big piece of that story in a public way through this public art. Talk to me about what that process is and how you approach that as an artist.
Definitely. It's in those situations, especially, it is, you know, truly collaborative. Often over a year of, you know, back and forth, making sure that story is aligned and being told, you know, visually in the way that they would want. Those sorts of jobs, you know, as the artist, I have, you know, less say than usual, which is fine. But definitely learning to figure out how to read their mind and create something that is only in words beforehand.
Yeah, it's just a process of that translation of an emotion or a feeling or an idea into something that reflects you as an artist, but also speaks to the place or the space that you're representing in that moment.
Right. Finding that balance has, you know, taught me a lot, but that's a really fun part to, you know, bring myself into a situation that, especially at A&M, that I, you know, I felt welcomed by the end, but being a non-Aggie, coming in to, you know, visualize their traditions and story was a little overwhelming.
It's a big responsibility, I think.
It was, and luckily had great guidance and, you know, team members on their end along the way that made that process, you know, turn out great.
Did you ever think that as you were becoming a professional working artist that so much of your art would be so collaborative? Because I think I'm asking this because, you know, other artists I've known or spoken to, a lot of what they do is very internal. Their process is internal. They're translating their own ideas. They're working kind of independently to create something new in the world. But when you're looking at this from this public perspective, it is so collaborative and you're working with so many different people that, you know, you have to bring your artistic sensibility in what you believe, but also make that mesh and meld with other people. So what is like, is that what you expected as an artist, or is this a, kind of a different way that you operate? And do you do both?
I do both now. I did not expect the immense collaboration that sort of project. I think there was, you know, probably 20, 30 opinions that, you know, got filtered back down to me each time we talked. But lots of, you know, chefs in the kitchen, and it's hard for me sometimes to kind of put my foot down of, you hired me for a reason, I hope. And listening to their, you know, ideas, being sensible to that, but then also sometimes, you know, being upfront that I don't think this is the best way to go, or this will be better because of this. And artists in general, I think, are super empathetic and non-confrontational, and those conversations are tough, but after experience, it gets easier.
Well, and you mentioned just a little bit ago, like having the confidence to step forward as an artist. And I think that's another key characteristic of leadership in general, is having the confidence to step forward with whatever your voice is and whatever leadership role you're taking. And I'd like to hear from you a little bit more, like this idea of an artist as a leader. I've had other artists on the program before and we've talked about this, and I think it's such an interesting way to think about art, as the artist as a leader in a community. And I'd like to just hear your thoughts on what that means to you.
Artists in the past to now have always offered a unique perspective that most people, they don't pay attention to, aren't taught to see. But artists, you know, from the foundation are taught to look at things differently and break them down in certain ways. And I think once you become an artist and live and breathe that, it impacts and influences how you see everything. And whether that's truly, you know, something concrete or politically or within society, I think artists have, you know, just a different take that is often the last thing that, you know, not normal people but non-artists would think of.
When we see art, I think, as non-artists, we're getting the end of the process, right? Like we're engaging with it in an intellectual way or maybe in an emotional way, but we're coming in at the very end, and the artist has been there from the beginning. And so, you know, when you're creating public works like these large murals that are here in our community, do you get to re-engage back with the consumer of the art? Like, do you often get to talk to people about the work, or because it lives so publicly, like, do you get to be in the end part of that process ever?
I do, and quite a few great, you know, ribbon cutting ceremonial type events for a few walls. That's always special to acknowledge the process, but then, you know, kind of highlight the work that was done. I definitely prioritize relationships with, you know, with everyone, but especially these bigger jobs. You know, they're so important and need to be thought about correctly from the beginning. And it's always exciting, you know, months after, a year after, to get a random picture or anything from those past clients that are still enjoying it, or, you know, they saw something new for the first time that they had never noticed within the piece. So it is always exciting to create it, but then know that hopefully it'll be there for a while.
What kind of studio art pieces outside of the murals are you working on right now?
I have a show coming up in September at the Washington Gallery and pairing up with an artist from Austin. So it'll be a dual show. I'm hoping to have 10 pieces there, and they're all inspired by the movie Dances with Wolves. So that's allowed me, you know, definite purpose and a timeline to dedicate that studio time, which I've tried to find more balance with.
That is such a fantastic film. What was your inspiration for choosing that? Like, how did that come up? Is there a story behind why you picked that, or is there, how did you land on that?
My mom's always been good at, you know, having just the classic list of must-sees, and I think she had tried to get me to watch it for years and never did. And once I did watch it, I was just blown away. Every shot in that movie could be a painting, is what I thought the first time I saw it. And it's probably been 3 years since that, you know, epiphany of at some point I want to paint, you know, a series of this movie. So it's been, you know, really exciting to, you know, fall in love with it again. Definitely the cinematics were the overall thing, but also the story and the characters and everything about it.
Sounds like your mom has great taste in movies.
She has a pretty good list of stuff that I would not have been introduced to on my own otherwise.
That's a fantastic film. I'm really excited to see how that translates to oil. And I'm assuming these are all oil paintings, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's an exciting thing to get to see. I want to kind of backtrack a little bit because we talked about, you know, your school experience and having some mentors that kind of guided you or really encouraged you to pursue art. But was there anyone who really mentored you or inspired you outside of school? Have you worked with other artists? Have you had anybody else sort of like look at you and see your talent and go, hey, I have some experience, let me give you some guidance? You know, talk to me about those processes.
I often bring up Kermit Oliver first. Just incredible man, incredible artist.
Give everybody just a quick overview of who Kermit Oliver is if they're not familiar, because he is a very important part of the art history of Waco. So
yes, he is a world-renowned artist, has worked with Hermes, was for a long time the only American artist that they had worked with. He's designed, I believe, 23 to 25 different scarves over the years for them. But he was a quiet postal worker that had just lots of years of experience and talent with painting. And he just silently did his thing until I think the Texas Monthly article two decades ago really blew him up in the public eye. Just local legend, you know. 85 years old, lives in East Waco, and luckily get to see him every couple months.
And when you met him, what was that relationship like? How did he impart some of his experience and wisdom to you?
So we were put together through the Brazos Education Foundation, and him meeting me, I didn't realize at the time how special and different that was, because he is a hermit. I like to call him Kermit the Hermit.
that's a great title for him.
We met at Barnes & Noble, and I bet he thought it would just be a one-time thing, and so thankful that he took the time to do that, because we talked for a few hours that day, and it was not all art, but the way we both spoke, I guess we just had that connection of seeing the world in that artistic lens, and you know, just his, you know, life as an artist. There's so much that, you know, I could take away from, and over the years, every conversation I walk away with, you know, this crazy energy, but also just so much knowledge about how that path should be forged and the mistakes to not make. And
do you have any specific things that you like really carry with you that he's told you that you'd be comfortable sharing?
Ultimately, being true to myself with what I make. That is a big reason why I've tried to find a better balance with the public mural world and also my world. Because I think for a while I lost that a little bit because I was only doing murals for a little too long, I guess, and was losing my sense of self and what I wanted to make because I was only making what other people wanted me to make. So I think that's something that I feel since then. But it's hard to give you more because there's so many just good gems. I mean, he's just a very wise, soft-spoken, elegant man and has great stories about everything. And somehow we always get into religion and science and, you know, so many different topics that I don't think I have with many other people.
Do you think that being able to explore bigger ideas than just art in a box, and him allowing you that freedom to converse about things, makes you feel in a way like more open to exploring those things through your art? I guess is my question is like the ability to speak about that with someone who you know you can identify with perspective wise. Is that there's something transformative about that?
Oh, 100%. And I also want to highlight Ty Nathan Clark and John Storm and Will Suarez, other artist mentors that I think once you make that connection and you're both living and breathing that lifestyle, you know, whether it's 6 months, you know, in between us talking, it's always right back to where we were. And just definitely feel seen and heard in a way that no one else can really offer. So I think artists just get each other, and it's always great to have. There's so many other people, you know, Brad Settles, and I mentioned Winter Russellowski, but you know, for certain situations, just great people that I can call on for advice or to share work and get opinions. It's really a great, you know, community.
I was going to say, it sounds like you've built yourself a community of artists that you can lean into and rely on to help kind of fuel you in the next things that you're doing.
There's a lot of great people doing a lot of great things in our little Waco.
That's so exciting to hear, because I think as an outsider, it feels that way, right? Like there's an energy that's happening in our community. And to hear you say like, yeah, we do have a community of art that's vibrant and we rely on each other and we communicate with each other. Even though as non-artists that we're not like directly in those conversations with y'all, we can feel that energy coming out in our community vibrantly through work that you're doing, but also the impact that you're having collectively across our community. And that's kind of leads me into my next question, and that is, where do you see art in Waco headed? I mean, you know, how long have you been working professionally?
8 years now.
So 8 years. So you're early in your artistic career, but you have a decent amount of time as well. So you can kind of see where you've come from and where art in Waco has come from. Where do you see us headed in the next 10 years?
There are, you know, a lot of painted walls, but there's still a lot more unpainted walls. Every time I drive down Franklin, you know, there's a lot of great walls that I dream of. This wall needs this. We've definitely, you know, had this revitalization period the last few years, and I think we're having our little renaissance and excited to see more sculptures, more off-the-wall, non-traditional art that I think Waco's been a little slow to catch up with.
What kind of an example of off-the-wall, non-traditional art would you say is something that you'd like to see?
Well, that's hard to say. I'd like to pursue abstraction and those sorts of things, but I'm definitely not an abstract artist. So those types of things, I guess I can't explain until they're made. But there's, you know, some great abstract painters, sculptors around that I bet they have stuff in the works that I'm excited to see.
That's such a good answer to that question, because I really did throw that at you like, well, tell me what you mean. Who are some of your personal favorite artists? Like, do you have some artists that you look to? They can be contemporary or, you know, folks from the past, like whatever. But is there anybody that you say, like, this is the type of art that I see that really, really inspires me?
Right now, specifically with working on these paintings for September, Mark Maggiore, he is, I think, one of the greatest painters alive right now. Just phenomenal, mostly southwestern landscapes and, you know, horses, Indian, you know, has a great balance with figures and the natural beauty. And if you look him up and see one of his paintings, you know, it's past a photograph. It grabs you in a way that, you know, photography can't, and he just has an amazing, you know, skill of bringing light and emotion to his pieces.
How do you see yourself inspiring others or being a part of sort of leading the generation of the next batch of artists that's coming up behind you?
I always felt and still feel like I didn't have, you know, my thing. First conversations with a few galleries, you know, it looks like you are multiple different artists through your work, and this wouldn't sell well or do well because you're not this. And I almost took that as a challenge, and I think hopefully that range could be, you know, a great thing to hear for younger artists, that one, you don't have to decide now, and you don't really ever have to decide. I think the traditional gallery world is not really how things are anymore, and there's so many ways to stretch yourself, stretch the styles of your work, the implementation of your mediums. You know, you don't have to stick to one thing, and I hope, you know, my variety of stuff will be, you know, a cool thing for younger artists to realize that you don't have to be in this box that most people try to put artists in.
That's so interesting that you see your journey and process as a real tangible way for younger artists to be inspired. And I'm wondering, is that because you were inspired so much by other artists and the way that they worked?
Definitely. And, you know, collaborating with artists, you know, for the first time years ago, that was just a great experience and something that I'd never had. But once you have that, it's, you know, something you don't want to lose, and you are just looking for the next opportunity to do it again and just gain so much working with other artists. Everyone works very differently, and along the way you pick up all these tips and tricks and styles and things you would never do if you were in your own box, you know, in the studio by yourself. Which is still a lot of fun and great, but great to step out and learn and experience together.
And in our last little bit of time here, you talked about this gallery show that you have coming up in the fall. What excites you about the future, even beyond that? Like, where do you see yourself developing?
I'm recently a part of another gallery in Dallas as well that just opened last month, called Gallery DeFi, and it is very non-traditional gallery situation. 40 artists all over the world, mostly mural artists and installation artists. I still don't know how I was able to get in there, because I'm definitely the smallest fish in that big pond. So I don't want to leave Waco. It'll always be my home base, but definitely looking at ways to expand and, you know, grow my future.
Well, Cade, it has been such a joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for being in the studio with
me
today.
Thank you. I always love, you know, diving back and, you know, talking art.
The Central Texas Leadership Series can be heard every second Friday on 103.3 Waco Public Radio. Catch this and past episodes of this program on our website at kwbu.org.